FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in the...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 199. Recorded May 6, 2016. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
Yeah.
In the new abode.
Yes, it's very...
very stark at the moment.
It's decorated nicely. I'm living out of boxes right now.
Haven't unpacked and everything, but you got your new...
No, I just got here yesterday.
Also with me is Michael Swift, a.k.a. Cyburn 2.
What's up, everybody? A mosquito bit my finger and is really itchy.
Oh, poor Zika. Yeah.
You might see me at some point in here going...
You got the Zika.
Yeah, he's scratching his middle finger because it's covered in yeast. Oh, that's just nasty. But, you know, we're kind of a hodgepodge crew tonight because, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. Some people are out traveling. Some people would rather go see Civil War than be on a podcast tonight. You know, hey, you know, that's their business. I went and saw it today myself, and I'm still here. So
you suck.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's awesome.
You suck too.
It was okay. I mean, you know, it's...
It was no
What About Avenger? Bob, but whatever. Yeah.
Spider-Man dies because Thor drops his hammer on him and says, "Squash you like a bug." And Spider-Man, right before he gets squashed, says, "I'm not a bug." And then squash, you know. So, you know, there's your spoilers.
So the Spider-Man movie is actually about Spider-Gwen.
I like the parts with Deadpool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I did not like Ben Affleck, though. And it... it was okay.
But, you know, I mean, it's been a good day for me. Picked up some new toys. Got X-Transbots Arcos, the Not Beachcomber, and I was really happy to see that it comes with a golden hand to homage the Golden Lagoon episode. Mm. And he also comes with some little flightless or little birds to perch on him and everything. Kind of dig that. And also picked up Masterpiece Ratchet and Victorion. So hopefully I'll be able to crack into those here shortly. But tonight we're going to be talking about Beast Wars. This is the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars year. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Transmetals, Fusors, some known issues with them. Also going to talk about some things that actually did not come to be in the Beast Wars line. We either saw a hint of them or they just didn't materialize for one reason or another. We're going to talk about those a little bit tonight. And as you can tell, my voice is not 100%. I'm still kind of... Somebody loves you. my voice is not 100% yet, but I'm getting better. And I know Michael Swift is doing the hack, hack, cough, cough.
It's a cough that won't go away.
Yeah, we're both recovered from the con SARS. But thank you for that, Typhoid Mary, who spread it around the entire BotCon convention in Louisville this year. But, yeah, so we got a pretty good show for you tonight, and hopefully you'll hear some things that are interesting and maybe some things that you didn't know about Beast Wars.
Hey, did you say this was episode 199?
Yes, it is.
That means next episode is number 200?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
200 episodes. Actually, episode 235 will be As TFYLP. But Insane Galvatron and I started this podcast back in 2010. And after about 35 episodes, we switched over and began calling it TFYLP as we now know it. And but yeah, we've been it's hard to believe it's almost 200 episodes strong, and a lot of great episodes in there. Some stinkers. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, we'll kind of hope this one isn't a stinker. Always want to try to give the fans something interesting and new they may not have heard about or thought about in TFYLP. Also, we are now available on the Google Play Store. So if you are on an Android device and want to listen to us and download us on the Google Play Store, you can you can search for TFYLP on Google Play and find us on there. Some great episodes on there. Hopefully it will. I mean, I just got it through last night, so hopefully it will go up we got a non-Massy attack.
It's a fill-in Massy.
A fill-in Massy. Yeah. Hopefully it'll go out the way it's supposed to. The feed for the iTunes isn't too jacked up, because it was showing the old logo for TFYLP whenever we were still with geekexistence.com. I don't know why it was still showing on iTunes. Hopefully it's showing the new one now. Because I made some changes to that. So hopefully we can get I got that fixed. Check that out. Also, friend of the show, the Zone Comics here in Louisville, Kentucky, is having a big bash tomorrow for Free Comic Book Day. So if you are in the Louisville, Kentucky area, go to the St. Matthews area.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Free Comic Book Day tomorrow. And check out the Zone Comics just off of Hubbard's Lane in Louisville, Kentucky. Some great vintage toys, Transformers, some great comics it's going to have in there. It's the same place that we had the convention kickoff party right before BotCon with Captured Prey. So if you're in the area, check out the Zone Comics. Also, might as well, while we're at it, plug our other sponsors. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free shipping on domestic orders. Also, check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com. And one final thing, want to give a shout out to Cobra Zartan from the TFW 2005 boards. Matt Burke, he recently lost his home to a fire. He's part of those wildfires up in Canada. So our hearts are out with you, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. Sorry to hear about that. So without further ado, let's talk about Beast Wars. Let's talk about Transmetals first. What are some of the main Transmetal toys that was out there? What's the most popular ones? I guess Michael, since you grew up with Beast Wars, let's go with you first.
Well, I mean, so anything from the show is going to be the standout. You have Primal, Megatron, Cheetor, Rat Trap, Tarantulas. Was that all the Transmetals?
And well, there, I guess was, there in season were more, two? There were more toy Transmetal figures than there were. There, no.
Yeah. This is back when, well, I mean, it's just like with Prime to an extent, where the toy line was significantly larger than the show characters, and that's because CGI costs a lot of money. But the ones that are based on the show are actually probably some of the strongest, especially the figures like Tarantulas. Tarantulas is just got the coolest profile of any of the Transmetals, and probably of any of the Predacons. And, you know, I feel like he really became a character when he became a the Transmetals version. Like, that's the one you think of when you think of Tarantulas. I mean, both with the BotCon set, the Tarantulas that was in that was based off of the Transmetals Tarantulas, and not his original form.
I think what's exciting about Transmetals is that it's kind of Beast Wars was that phase where Transformers weren't quite as big as the Unicron trilogy, the movies weren't even being thought about, and you were coming out of that lull after G2. And we had the show about Beast, and it was familiar, but it wasn't familiar. You didn't have the cars and the planes, and you didn't have the familiar characters that you grew up with. You had new characters, but some of their names or designs would harken back to G1. And what Transmetals did was it kind of started to bring those vehicle modes back into the fold. So you still had the Beast Wars. You still had every character still had a beast mode, a robot mode, but the Transmetals now had a third mode that was
kind of like
reminiscent of a vehicle.
Yeah, his like spider bike type.
Yeah.
Thing. Right. So in a way, even though premise-wise for the show, it was the future and they had evolved and they could take on these organic forms on the outside and become beast, stylistically, they were reverting back to G1 by starting to incorporate vehicle modes. And that carries through Transmetal 2s to Beast Machines, and then once you get to Car Robots, it's back to being full-fledged Transformers as people my age had known it.
Yeah. Well, I thought what was really interesting with the Transmetals as a concept, season one, it was all organic Beast Modes and robotic, robot modes. And then with Transmetals, they flipped it on its head, and you had very robotic beast modes. But then when they transformed, their robot modes looked more organic. You look at Primal, and he has fur patterns on him in robot mode, and his face is more organic. But in beast mode, he's a shiny chrome ape. And it was like that with all the Transmetals. That sort of flip on season one.
You know, I actually never really noticed that, but you're right. You're right. I was trying to think I forget the name now. I'm just going to skip which, over that. But my
which thought. Character? Which
it's
animal?
It's one of those things that I had a thought and then it just kind of right out the window. But the Transmetals, they also were known for some of their issues too. And you know, much like Generation One's GPS, it also carried over into some Beast Wars toys as well.
So you're talking about the toys now?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about toys now, but also in general. Transmetals, but right now the toys, you know, you got the GPS in Generation 1, the gold plastic that just basically crumbles into dust. Then you also have it carry over into some Beast Wars toys as well, such as Megatron, the Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Now is it so much that it's the that the figures? Hang on a second, my daughter's.
Yeah, but Michael, what was your favorite outside of Tarantulas? What was your initial take as a kid growing up with Beast Wars? What was your initial take whenever they switched over to the Transmetals?
You know, I can't quite remember actually. Because it was, I mean, as a kid, as you're watching it, and the big thing is at the end of season one and season two, and I was a kid that watched the cartoon, so my enjoyment of the toys sort of came from the cartoon. You know, you had the death of Optimus Primal, the end of season one, that sort of kicked off the season two switch. And at the time, you know, watching as a kid, I think it was more wrapped up in all the goings on there. I don't remember being particularly ill, and there was a lot that happened at the start of that season. I mean, Primal was presumably dead. They kill off Tarantulas and Scorponok in about 10 seconds of footage.
I think you mean Pterosaur.
Oh, yeah. Pterosaur, yeah. Stuck on Tarantulas.
Brain fart.
yeah, they kill off Tarantulas. Gosh, Pterosaur, no. I had it right the first time. Man, you see where it's going today. It's been a long day. But yeah, Pterosaur and Scorponok are just gone. And
you know they weren't supposed to be gone forever. They were only supposed to be gone for a little bit and emerge as either Transmetals or some other, potentially a Transmetal 3 in the later season. And just unfortunately never materialized.
Listener Mike Boyle, I asked the question if you're listening live right now, you can join our Facebook group, the TFYLP Facebook group, and interact with us live on the show. You can go to the pinned post, which is this episode, and interact with us there. Or if you are more easily accessible to Twitter, you can tweet us at TFYLP. I'm watching it on there. But I posed the question in the Facebook group, who is your favorite Beast Wars Transmetals? And Mike Boyle says Optimal Optimus. Great play value, and like most of the Transmetals, was very show accurate. That was a hallmark of the Transmetals as well.
Yeah, a lot of the – I think they had the benefit in with the Transmetals of the show already being somewhat established, because a lot of what they did with the show or the first season is they adapted the toy, or they adapted the show to the toys, or no, the other way around. They took sort of that toy look in, and then they adapted it to work with the 3D. Because like if you have like the old Rhino DVDs, and it might be on the Shout Factory DVDs as well, there's special features where they actually had some of the really early working 3D models, and like Dinobot looks significantly different, a lot more like the toy. He has this like funky looking leather hat that sort of looks like his mutant helmet that would fold down around his face in his toy. So there was a bit of a play with the first season to where, you know, Dinobot sort of looked like Dinobot, but he, at the same time, it wasn't a perfect representation. And it's definitely clear in season two that they had a much closer relationship by that point. And so the toys really look a lot like the show by that point.
So they had a closer relationship with Hasbro.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think what probably happened there from some of the stories I've heard from back in the day is the lead time on a show that's CGI is so long that these Transmetal toys were already in development by the time they're preparing for season two. So now they can work closer with those designs than they could off season one, because the toys in the show were being developed simultaneously. So that's, I think, why you have a little bit of a disconnect between what you see in the show and what you see in the toy, as opposed to Transmetals and Transmetal 2 figures.
Well, let's also be honest, too. Look at the timing of Beast Wars. Beast Wars, as a lot of people recognize, basically saved the Transformer franchise, especially here in North America, when the line was pretty much dying after Generation 1. And I'm sure that Hasbro was kind of gambling with this new CGI show. And at that time, you had Reboot and a couple others that were hot properties. And they figured they'd get in on that with Transformers Beast Wars. And I'm sure at first they weren't quite sure how much of a success it would be. So I don't know if the relationship there during season one was as close as it should have been until they kind of got a gauge on how well it was doing.
Well, that's like I've heard, I might have read it on the TF Wiki or something, but or maybe it was a special feature on a DVD, but like with the first season, it takes a while. It's not until Possession that they really start to tie Beast Wars in with G1. Up until that point, they sort of were, playing it a little loose so that they could say, oh, this isn't, testing well, or this isn't, showing well. Well, we're going to just back off and not make it too, because when you look at Beast Wars, the first thing that comes up on the screen is Beast Wars, and then it says Transformers, and it was that time period where the name Transformers couldn't necessarily sell a show or toys, and you can kind of see it in some of the ways they handled Beast Wars. I mean, even if you read some of the original bios, and even up into this Transmetals bios, they were very different from the show. Like, for instance, there's a bunch of characters that went Transmetal in the toys that didn't go Transmetal in the show. It was a Transmetal Waspinator. And if you read his bio, it's really a lot like the bio of the first Waspinator, where it almost paints him as he's a bad arse. Sort of like the Starscream of the toys, if you read the bios.
I think what you have there is actually a disconnect between the copywriter, who is the person who actually writes the bios for the packaging, and someone who is actually connected to the show. Back in that time, things, what's that word, synergy. There wasn't a lot of that between the copy department and the brand team that had a connection to the show. So it's quite possible that whoever was doing the copywriting never even saw a single episode of Beast Wars.
Well, and what's really funny, and this is just a little side note, so I actually got from Megamus recently, I bought his Microverse Beast Machine or Beast Wars playsets. And the funny thing is these came out around the same time. But if you look at these two little minifigures that they sent with it, this is with the set that's the killer whale, the orca. I think it was Orcanok was its name. And this is the one that came with this is the Megatron that came with the tarantula. I can't remember the name of the set. But the funny thing is the Optimus Primal from that set is based off of the what was it at the time? It was Ultra Class figure, the the primal that you would come to know from the show. But the Megatron is based off of the
Megatron. Yeah.
And so there's this strange time period where it's like everything was up in the air, nothing was set in stone. Because even if you look at like the Tarantulas, it's based off of a lot of the promotional art or promotional pictures from like Toy Fair catalogs, where Tarantulas was supposed to be a like clear orange plastic, and so he comes out as this bronze color in the Micro Machines set. So it's kind of interesting to see all that, how it was really just like no clear direction until about season 3 when the bios started to line up with the show.
Before we hold that thought, got some breaking news I just saw here on Twitter.
Wow.
Masterpiece Inferno.
I don't know. It doesn't look quite as good as some of those third party guys out there.
Yeah.
This one's kind of hoax.
No, that's.
Are we sure that doesn't say jazz down there in Japanese?
Well, take it with a grain of salt, but yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'll get it. I mean, I'm going to keep my my Make toy Hellfire, but yeah, because it's awesome. But I'm going to get that as well. But
I don't know. I think that's Artfire. I don't think that's Inferno.
But yeah, that was actually tweeted about 7 minutes ago here, according to Twitter, via TFW2005. So, yeah, that's some good news there. But back to Beast Wars, the time frame that was kind of up in the air.
Well, I think it's more about the coordination on the brand level between departments such as the copywriters and different teams. So you had the Micro Machine teams who developed the Orconaut and the Tarantulas playset. Those weren't necessarily the same people who were working on the toy line who had the connection to the show. So that's why I think you have that disconnect of, well, the Megatron's based off the Gator and the Primal's based off the Voyager toys. I think if you look at a recent example of this, it's the Build-A-Figure Heatwave, right? What are the Build-A-Figures called for Transformers? Nobody cares. They don't make them anymore.
The Hero Mashers.
Hero Mashers.
Yeah.
Right.
You can find them at Five Below for like $4.
Yeah, so you have the Hero Masher Heatwave, which was clearly based off the Heatwave figure from TFCC. Somebody who obviously does not know the brand was the person who designed that, because what they intended to make was Heatwave from Rescue Bots. But not knowing the state of the brand, because it's a different team who wasn't working on Generations, Rescue Bots, etc., that's how you get those disconnects. And that's how you get those missteps.
Or if you get
kind of like the whole strafe swoop thing on the Age of Extinction packaging.
Well, kind of like you told us one time, how the Astrotrain Blitzwing 2-pack was probably handed off to an intern that didn't know jack about it. Or they just said, hey, here, give these guys a color scheme you think looks cool.
Right, the really the awesome reissue Astrotrain Blitzwing.
Yeah.
Which is it's just awful. It's just terrible.
I don't want it.
You don't like Safety Astrotrain? That's what I like to call it.
So anyway, I think that's a more sound explanation of why situations like that occur.
Yeah.
Michael Swift.
Excellent. Yes. So what are some of the main issues outside of the GPS that Transmetals were known for?
So we were talking about this. It's actually the flaking issue. I don't know if it's so much as GPS or can be considered GPS, but transmetals, and it seems to happen on only certain figures, have a flaking issue, and the figure it seems to happen to the most is Rattrap. Transmetal Rattrap. I've got one that's carded, which is just, it's a mess. All the red flakes from the vacuum chrome have come off and are in the package. Same thing with my loose one. It's all chipped off. I think it tends to be that character, and oddly enough, later in Beast Machines with the Voyager side, Jetstorm, exactly.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was so pretty, too, back in the day.
I actually believe I have the same flaking problem on my original Rattrap. Luckily, it's not too bad, but, you know, every time I have to go to dust it, it starts to flake a little more. It didn't seem to carry over to the Walmart and Fox Kids repaints. Those are pretty pristine on mine, and I haven't noticed any flaking on that. The one figure that I do notice a lot of flaking starting to occur on is my Rampage. And
your transmetal, is that the ultra-sized one?
Yeah.
Kind of like the BotCon 2000 Shulker Act. I mean, I'm probably not going to open mine because I'm afraid there will be, like, sand dust in it because of that.
Well, he suffers from, like, brittle plastic, doesn't he?
I've heard he suffers from the...
Or is it the flaking?
The flaking. Because there's those pegs that you have to peg into the... to make the vehicle mode. They're actually chromed as well. Mm. And, yeah.
Because from my understanding, the big problem with the chrome, and if you can find a pristine version and you have some bit of handiness, you can actually prevent the cracking of the chrome, or you can actually prevent the flaking. But basically, from my understanding, is the problem is they didn't apply a top coat to the chrome after it was chromed. And so that chrome is just exposed to the air and shipping. If you go and I believe and a lot of the repairs or the way to preserve your figures that I've heard around the internets is to go and buy clear coat, and if you are handy enough and you trust yourself to do it, you can actually put clear coat on your transmetal parts, on the vac chrome parts, and it will prevent the flaking. I don't trust myself not to be heavy-handed with it and get swirls all over it.
Yeah, I'm too much of a clod when it comes to something like that. But yeah, I mean it's like back in the day. Well, I think alternator smokescreen was my first attempt at doing a custom, and I successfully took all the deco off of it. With rubbing alcohol, and then proceeded to hand paint the G1 deco on it, and it looked awful by the time it was done. But you know, that told me enough right there that I was like, you know, maybe this customizing thing is not for me.
Yeah, I people have been sharing like, and this is a tangent, but people have been sharing like the customized masterpiece figures to look like the Transformers Devastation characters with all the cell shading and stuff like that, and I'm just like, just drooling. I'm like, I wish I had talent because I would love to do this to a masterpiece figure, but I'm never going to do it. I probably would, painting an entire figure red would probably go wrong for me somehow, and I'd end up with blue splotches all over the place.
It's really all about trial and error. And finding what technique works best for what plastic or metal that you're painting. So it's anyone can do it. It's just as patience. With anything, patience. when you learn something new, it's patience.
Yeah. Edward Hunt on the Facebook group says, "Put Pledge Floor Care on the chrome." you know, it's whatever works as a sealant, I guess. But it all depends on how. Adapt at it, as Michael said, that you think you could do it. Me, it's something I would never attempt. Yeah. just because I'm a clone.
Yeah, I try to buy a pristine version and then just never touch it. And even that doesn't stop the flaking.
Yeah. And it's like my show, Correct. I'm happy to have it, even though I know it could potentially have issues. I wanted it because I wanted a Hartman era BotCon exclusive. And it is a pretty one in pristine condition. I'm considering, because I'm not as concerned about opening it. So I'm one of those that's considering actually sending it off to get AFA'd. So, just for posterity's sake. Now let's talk about, we've talked about transmetals. Let's move on to fusors. Rick, you want to talk a little bit about fusors?
Well, fusors was an interesting concept. So if we break the toys down into seasons of the television series, you have your basic Transformer, which has an organic exterior and the robot on the inside. Transmetals is now taking that exterior that's organic and making it all shiny and chrome. Fusors keeps that organic look to it, but now it's a combination of two animals in one. So obviously the two most popular ones, which were the only ones on the show, except I guess Tigerhawk was a Fusor. Quickstrike, who was part Scorpion and part Snake, and Silverbolt, who was part Wolf and part Eagle. Michael Swift, your thoughts on the Fusors?
Sorry, I got distracted here. Yeah.
I thought it was as a kid, I honestly, the Fusors to me were more interesting in season two than the Transmetals. I mean, the Transmetals had that play pattern where you could turn them into vehicles, and that was fun. Though some of them didn't really, their vehicle modes really were nothing. Like Cheetor's vehicle mode, he gets some jetpacks. Some of them were more interesting than others. But I was really a big fan of, Silverbolt and Quickstrike in the show. And a lot of the molds that were out there, it was just cool to see how they mixed some of the creatures together. I know one of the ones that most people hate is Injector. And Injector was one of the few Fusors I owned as a kid. And I actually have grown to quite enjoy the figure. And it's an ugly, ugly mess. But it's a lionfish combined with a hornet or a wasp into this just repulsive-looking Predacon. And I think what really made me love it was the his portrayal or his character in the IDW Beast Wars miniseries and the corresponding source book material. But like the whole concept was just really cool. I mean, you had a lizard mixed with a dragonfly and Sky Shadow, and he was, he's actually one of the most like standout Fusors when he's on the shelf, because he's just this brilliant like green and blue with a bunch of different colors and these big orange, insect wings. And you got some turds. You have
Bantor was actually mentioned on Transformers Prime. Thank you.
I actually like Bantor as well.
Maybe it is Bantor. It's the baboon tiger combination.
What's not to love about that? He's awesome.
You know how we ended up mentioning him on Prime? I think we tried finding the most ridiculous Transformer possible, and we had already mentioned Sea Spray. So I think Bantor, that's how he gets referenced in the show.
Yeah, because he's definitely one of the more outlandish, especially since if you have the toy, his it did something really funky with his legs where none of his legs match. Like, one side is like a tiger leg, and the other side is like a baboon leg. And it's not like his front, you know, like Silver Bolt, where his front legs are like the eagle legs, but his back legs are wolf legs. No, one of his back legs is a tiger leg, and the other back leg is a baboon leg. And it's just like, he would be just a terrible animal to exist, run around. Well, I imagine he can't move.
Wasn't that kind of like a? Didn't he get that kind of characterization? Like he was, like some kind of failed attempt at a Fizor or something.
I mean, the only characterization he ever really had, I believe, is the Beast Wars source book. Because he was in the Beast Wars comic that IDW put out, but he was never really a central character.
Is that the one that was done by Jim Swartzen?
No. The source book is all Furman.
Okay.
And I believe Ben, you worked on that too. But you know, I wanted to touch on something that you said earlier, Michael. Fiction can really elevate a character tremendously. You want to talk about kind of crappy Beast Wars toys, there's Razor Beast, who is a basic boar. He's a boar, he turns into a robot. I never thought much of him, but, and this is going back to the Dreamwave days of comic books, the Dreamwave, and I think it was Dreamwave, it was the Dreamwave Beast Wars books were... Razor Beast was focused. Was that IDW?
I think the idea started in the Dreamwave days, but Dreamwave never actually put the comic out, and so Furman sort of recycled a bit of that for IDW.
So Razor Beast was the focus of that storyline, and he had a really awesome Cybertronian mode in the comics, and then he's like the star when he gets to Earth. And that, to me, like, that story was so compelling and so interesting that it took what was, in my head, a crappy toy and elevates him to a whole other level that I appreciate. And now he's on the front of what once was my Beast Wars shelf. Now it's now it's just a box.
Yeah, they did that with a lot of those characters. Like, in the IDW book... for the Maximals, it was Razor Beast, Wolf Fang, Bone Crusher, Ramulus. Like, they went and took Ramulus and made him a character that... I mean, Ramulus had some characterization in the 3H comics, but, you know, they gave him a character there. They for the Predacons, they took Spitter and Manterror, and, you know, some of those characters... or some of those toys that were... They're cool toys, some of them.
They were blank slate because they didn't have much fiction behind them other than a bio, and that bios can be easily dismissed.
Yeah, they're throwaway fiction, typically. I mean, you look at the original Primal's bio, and it almost alludes to him being a King Kong-sized ape instead of being a regular-sized ape. Like, there's just some funky stuff going on with the bios.
Although, you know, to offer a differing opinion on that, though, I have to say that in Generation 1, a lot of the bios are what I based my play pattern on, the ones that were in the tech spec. But I guess I'm one of those few people that actually, I mean, I enjoyed reading the tech specs on a regular basis because it, especially the characters that really weren't featured in the television show, or didn't have that much characterization in your mind or in my mind as a kid, the tech spec bio helped fill out more of the character and helped enhance my play value of that particular toy.
Well, so interestingly enough, Beast Wars is kind of weird in that I started on Beast Wars with, the action figures, sort of. I got Pterosaur. I saw it at the store, and I was like, hey, it's a dinosaur, because it was a kid. I was a male in, you know, the 90s, And dinosaurs were all the rage. Everything was dinosaurs.
Jurassic Park.
So I saw a dinosaur figure on the pegs. It was pterosaur. You turn over on the back. Oh, it's a dinosaur that turns into a robot. And I convinced my grandmother to buy it for me. And then
just had this this picture of you like harassing your grandmother in a very mean way to buy you a stupid dinosaur.
I think I was like I was 7 at the time. I don't know. We were in the toy section, so this probably means that she was gonna buy us a toy anyways. Because we usually weren't allowed to go to the toy section if we weren't getting something.
I usually dragged my mom there anyway, you know, whether or not I was getting anything or not.
You know, that was back in the days when Walmart had the round clothing racks.
Yeah.
And so we used to just go play in those when we were at Walmart. In the toy section, we only went to when we were allowed to get something because we knew that that wasn't going to happen. And then later, it wasn't much later, but I discovered Beast Wars, and I probably discovered it because I had Pterosaur, and so I had familiarity with the name. I discovered Beast Wars in the cartoons that used to play before school and got hooked. And then I had to have whatever character I could get at the time. And I don't even remember how this story started or where it was supposed to go.
I'm kind of wondering where the story's supposed to go.
We had a point at one point, but it got sidetracked and then sidetracked again. This is TFYLP. It happens.
Yes. But sometimes these little rabbit trails that we chase are really fun and interesting. They lead to some information being revealed.
It was tech specs. I don't remember ever actually reading it. I was the kid that would just rip open the box, and I would try to clip the tech specs, but I think only like 2 of them ever survived my childhood. The rest ended up in the toy box, got destroyed. So for me, a lot of those characters that were nothing were just blank slates that I usually just put my imagination on. But so when the IDW comics came out and the source book came out, and now it put some actual characterization to those characters, it made, you know, sort of deepened my appreciation for them. Suddenly I needed to have a Razor Beast. I still don't have a Razor Beast because Razor Beast is expensive.
Probably because of the comics.
Yeah, he's like, of the Flip Changers, he's like the second most expensive, with Rat Trap being the first. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. I guess maybe because his popularity went up. And unfortunately, you can't replace him with the Takara version. But the one that they released in Beast Wars 2nd, because it's made out of completely out of gold, and it just shatters as soon as you open it from the box. It's a giant spring-loaded GPS toy. That's not very good.
I remember watching, I think it was a YouTube video one time, somebody opened up the Randy. That's what he was called in Japan. Yeah. Going back to what we were talking about before the show there, Rick, Randy. somebody opened up a Randy, and it's like, this is GPS, and just did like that with his hand, and it just like literally fell to like little tiny pieces out of his hand.
I imagine if you took the
money well spent.
Yeah, if you took the spring gimmick and tried to pull it back, that figure would just explode. He's become hard to, well, not really hard to find, but he's become more expensive to get.
Probably because of that, you know, especially, you know, if the Japanese collectors that want to go back and get a Randy, and they don't want to get a known GPS toy, they'll get the American version that's not prone to it, or as prone to it.
Yeah,
that's a hypothesis.
Yeah. So, the release of the source book and stuff, and it's really a disappointment that was back in, IDW's miniseries days, where everything was a four-book series, and you know there was no continuous comic. That's when Beast Wars had its chance, and it had its chance, and then fell off. I kind of wish they would have kept going forward with it, because a lot of those characters, because it was only four books, or it ended up being eight books, but they threw so many characters at it that some of them didn't even get any personality. They were just there in the background in some giant fight scene, because they're like, we have to include every Beast Wars character that was ever released as a toy that wasn't in the show.
I can just see Michael with the comic book holding it up really close. He goes, that looks like Injector.
Well, Injector actually had speaking parts.
You mean dialogue?
Yes.
Okay. Talk.
Now, there are some things, some concepts that were... Like we talked at the beginning of the show, that either were just barely touched on Transmetals 3 or completely dropped it all. Rick, you have some info on that?
You know, sometimes in the development process, things change. Maybe they don't cost out. Maybe the gimmick isn't delivering what the intention was, and I think you see that what I call vestigial parts in Transmetal 2s, specifically the Ultra class Transmetal 2 Megatron, the Red Dragon, and Tigerhawk, which I guess was the only Fusor Transmetal, where you see like they have these wheels or what are treads. And they're almost like a third mode in a way. But it's not quite there. Like, there's still parts missing. But you can see that there's places where pegs are supposed to snap together. And something was thought out and then dropped along the line. What's also interesting about those figures is that they have cockpits in them, which are never explained in the show. Never really explained anywhere. But we know from previous BotCon presentations that there was supposed to be a little figurine in those cockpits. The Spark was supposed to take on like a humanoid shape and sit in those cockpits. And I don't think any of those figures survived anymore.
Well, it's like the Transmetal 2 Megatron. The didn't they have like a little seat that would swivel?
Yeah, that's the cockpit.
Yeah.
Tigertron had the same thing. Yeah
he also has a cockpit.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, I believe there was even supposed to be a pilot in Optimal Optimus's.
Yeah, I think I remember one time Aaron Archer saying that Optimus Prime Spark was supposed to be the pilot of Optimus Primal. Like, he would live in his cockpit. His Spark would live
that was,
in his cockpit.
That was sort of portrayed in the show where when Optimus Primal took in Optimus Prime's Spark so that they could repair him, and then he was by the power of Optimus Prime, reformatted into Optimal Optimus.
By the power of Optimus Prime,
and that's when he got the power.
Yeah, once he finished that transformation, you know, Optimus Prime's Spark was in his cockpit. So they come on, man.
I can't hold it.
What are you laughing
at? Sort of touched on that a little bit, but it didn't.
They only touched the cockpit a little bit.
They touched on that cockpit just a little bit, and but it never went further from there. They seemed
no,
to
you got, I kind of wish they had touched the cockpit a little bit more.
Okay. I guess I'm sorry. My juvenile humor coming through here. Okay. Now,
hey, the show was founded on it.
Yes. listen to look at the name of the show. I'm sorry.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But what are some Rick, are you aware of some toys that actually never saw the light of day as far as like Transmetal 3 and everything?
You know, there's been a couple of people talking about Transmetal 3, some previous Hasbro guys like Steve Trucker, Aaron Archer. I know at one point they had drawn up, and I think it actually made its way online, was a concept for a Transmetal 3 Rampage. And I'm trying to think back to that concept. I think it looked like a mutated, like... The thing about Transformers, for the most part, is when you look at the design, it's symmetrical. And some of the Transmetal 2s were not symmetrical. They looked like mutations. Like the left arm, the left shoulder might seem more organic in design, but the right shoulder might have some more robotic details in the design. And I think the Transmetal 3s kind of pushed that even further.
The Thrustinator, I believe, was that
based no, off Thrustinator, that was a TFCC figure, but that had actually come from Trent Troop and Greg Sepulak, who came up with that design of using the Beast Wars 2 Cyber Waspinator figure and just kind of putting a new head on it to make it into that half...
half organic, half...
Right. Half frost, half
waspinator. A techno-organic waspinator. But you saying something about sharing something?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a quick search to see if I can find that art. I think I remember it being online for Transmetal 3 Rampage.
Yeah, I was trying to do a search for it too, but I'm not coming up with anything. I know there was one for the Transmetals, and if anyone's done any browsing of the TF Wiki, they would have seen this. There was actually a concept for a Transmetals Dinobot that was not the Beast Wars or the McDonald's Transmetals Dinobot. If I can pull it up here real fast.
Wasn't there a white variant of the Transmetal 2 Dinobot?
Yeah, there was like a bone colored version, and then there was a pure white and a light blue detail versions. And then the Transmetal 2s had a variation in the packaging, the number 2 versus the Roman numeral 2 in the logo.
I remember that. I had several different instances of those in my collection. Kind of like the original, the first run Beast Wars, you had Rocky, Transmetal 2, like Rhinox, there was a Rocky Bubble and a soft and a smooth bubble as well, wasn't there? Or was that,
So if you take a look at this, so this was a concept art that was originally for possible Transmetals Dinobot. And this is on the TF Wiki. So it looks like it would have been one of those instances where they didn't quite know what to do for the vehicle mode, so they just sort of flattened it out.
Lay him down.
Yeah. There was a few like that.
Looks like the dinosaur forearms kind of folded underneath, like he's grabbing his tail, and then the front legs just went straight out, and there's like wheels that came out from underneath.
Clearly here he's scooting his butt across the floor because it itches.
Yeah, he's been turpentined.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing that they didn't put that in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it together, Mike.
So on the, you know, we were talking about Transmetal 2s and we really didn't cover them much, but And one of the things I liked about it is, like I was saying earlier with the Transmetals, you know, season one was organic beast modes, robotic robot modes, and then season two was robotic beast modes with organic robot modes, and then Transmetal 2's had it to where, you know, both modes had a mix of organic and robotic, which you can see how they eventually progressed to the concept of beast machines from that, where they were sort of working out their way to where organic and technological sort of blended together. But it was really interesting with some of those figures, because some of them pulled it off, like your Cheetor, it looked like almost like it did in the show, where, you know, he had patches of fur and stuff like that. But some of the bugs, it didn't quite like pass off. If you look at like Transmetals 2 Scarum, you would mistake him mostly for a Transmetals, except for he has that that asymmetrical design about him that was seen with the Transmetal 2s.
He still looked mostly organic, though.
Well, so a lot of him was chromed. Really, what really looked organic on him was his like insect legs.
Well, I thought he looked more organic as just in form, but it's like the robot the mechanical came from the chrome. I mean, it just. But just his overall form just screamed more organic to me.
He was, I think he's actually got quite a bit of like tech detail on him, because I can actually pull him up right here.
Dropping.
This little guy. This is Transmetal 2 Scarum.
Yeah. Oh, is that Scarum? Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you can see he's very asymmetrical, but he maybe a little less so than some of the others. But he really didn't. I don't know if he really pulled off the Transmetal 2 look. There's a lot of them that are sort of like that with the Transmetal 2s, where they had, like, a clear direction for one of them. But, like, even Dinobot, for instance, he mostly just looks like a robotic dinosaur. And doesn't really carry over that blend of organic and technological that some of the other ones had.
Well, wouldn't that derive mainly like Rick was saying earlier, how especially in the second season, Hasbro and the studio were working more closely together, and by that time we had Code of Hero. And it was a way of bringing Dinobot back, but he was more of a robotic zombie, in essence, that it was basically just a shell of the Dinobot that we knew.
So I actually remember the toy actually came out before the episode aired where they brought him back, and so I remember being in the Walmart and seeing him on the shelf. And it was around Christmas time and trying to figure out what I wanted. And I looked at that and I'm like, that's not right. Dinobot's dead. And I passed up on him at the time.
And then later you're like, I want it.
Yeah. And,
sometimes I forget just how young you are.
I'm the second youngest of the group.
Who is the youngest?
I believe Natsume.
Yes, she is. I think.
topic for a different day.
Yes. Maybe I get to know the cast of TFYLB. Did we fully touch on the characters that weren't released or were planned on releasing? In Beast Wars,
Can you put that statement in a different way?
Okay. My brain is kind of mush right now. The characters that were planned on being released for Beast Wars, did we fully touch on all the ones that we're aware of?
I'm not sure I understand what your question is.
That were planned on being released in Beast Wars, but were not.
Any of them, to your knowledge, for like the transmetals and stuff like that, I think is what he's trying to ask.
Yes. Oh, so like, was there like a transmetal Scorponok or?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
Scorponok. I have it.
Well, not the Happy Meal version. I know the producers, the writers, had talked about bringing Scorponok and Pterosaur back, and it was never their intention to kill them off and have that be permanent. I don't know if there was any concept for that, though.
Well, I mean, Pterosaur at least had a Transmetals figure. Scorponok just fell off the face of the earth after his death at the start of season 2. And it was kind of interesting because Pterosaur's dynamic in all of season 1 was he was Megatron's Starscream for Beast Wars. And he really filled that gap, and then they killed him off. And so in some ways it's probably good because that actually let Tarantulas rise in his place. I feel like Tarantulas is really the one that took that over in season 2 and season 3. And Tarantulas ended up being a fan favorite. To this day, we're still, the club released 2 Tarantulas figures in the span of a year.
Could be due to a number
one
of
things. One to make up for the first one a little bit, I think, because the motorcycle was kind of a strange choice. But
not really whenever you consider the fact that Transmetal 2 Tarantulas had that that spider bike mode. I think that's more what it was homaging.
I mean, that was the obvious.
I think it was trying to, but yeah. I don't think either figure was truly what Tarantulas was supposed to be. I know at one point when I was working with them to develop the product, we had talked about Tarantulas being was it Mudflap? Or Dirt Boss, Cybertron figure.
Yeah, Dirt Boss.
It was the pink
monster truck
with the huge wheels that hung off its back. And I kept thinking that would make a really cool Tarantulas based off toys that were available at the time.
Yeah.
Because he had those wheels that were hanging off the back of him.
Yeah, I could see that. And like you're saying, neither of the two Tarantulas is released really pull off exactly the look of Tarantulas, because Tarantulas had that big upper body, but his lower body was very slender, and so his profile was very unique. And like with the most recent release that came with the BotCon box set, I feel like most of that figure pulled it off, except he had really big, hero styled feet.
Like, yeah, I think that was just more they had to go with what the mold offered.
And I think in vehicle mode, he sort of pulls it off. He's got sort of the same shape as the Transmetals Tarantulas did, minus the legs. But,
six-wheeled vehicle instead of a six-legged creature.
Well, eight-legged.
Right, yeah.
There's only one six-legged spider in the Transformers universe, and that's Beast Machines Black Arachne.
Whenever I think of Black Arachne, that's probably one of the best ones as far as Because let's be honest, the Beast Wars Black Arachnia really didn't look a whole lot like she did on the show. But whenever you get to the Beast Machines one, it kind of looked more like she did in the show. And for the longest time, until we got animated Black Arachnia, that was arguably the best Black Arachnia toy we had ever gotten.
Don't forget the best female figure.
Yes.
There's the Transmetals 2 Black Arachnia, which is actually fairly close to the show.
I guess you're right.
Except for the giant shoulders.
Yeah, the giant shoulders. It's got World of Warcraft style shoulders.
But, all right. Is there anything else that was like a Beast Wars evolution beyond like the season one thing that really came to be that we haven't covered?
I think what is really great about Beast Machines is kind of like as Beast Wars Transmetals is my final thought is that it shows you that you can reinvent and reinvigorate existing characters, core characters to your story with new designs and new looks without having to offer just a gimmick, whether it's the Batman effect, where he's got big green laser, he's got fighting fist, he's got his awesome skateboard. It's Optimus Primal, then you have this Transmetal Optimus Primal, which is the same character, completely different look, but you instantly recognize him as the same character.
Instead of being screen. Just a straight up redeco, you know, kind of like the Armada Hotshot, and then you got the Hot Rod Deco.
Well, that's like when you switch into the Japanese produced series, you know, with RID and Onward, they went with that Super Saiyan effect where you power up by changing color.
And Beast Wars did that a step further. And I mean, not only different colors, but completely different look too. And then as far as the toys go, completely new gimmicks. I.e. like third modes.
With cockpits.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, unlike what we would get in the next, you know, decade after that, even when a new gimmick came out, the main gimmick was still transformation. And that's you know, RID would still hold on to that, and a lot of the Transmetals and Transmetal 2s, well, mostly the Transmetal 2s would make their way into RID's toy line. But the franchise hadn't sold out to gimmicks that weren't transformation. You know, once we got to Armada, the main gimmick was now Minicons and activating hidden weapons and stuff like that.
Which, if they had just left it with Minicons, it would have been fine. But then you add in the sliding port gimmick and all that stuff. It just kind of took something great and kind of made it. That's my opinion on it. But there was still some gems there.
You're kind of forgetting that your core consumer, who doesn't have any connection to fiction, is buying it for the toy, though.
Yeah.
And when you start introducing too many gimmicks on top of that core toy that it's a transformer, then it starts to lose what makes it special.
Like making transformers that don't transform. It's the end of Generation 1. But let's see here. We have another. Edward Hunt commented on the Facebook group. Action Masters were the worst. Sorry, guys. I know a lot of people love Action Masters, but
I love Action Masters. But can they be considered Transformers? They're a Transformers product, but they're not Transformers.
They're Transformers. It's kind of like the big. Like we call them the soap bottle Transformers, the Titans from the last few years. You know, they're Transformer characters, but they're they don't transform. They don't really do anything other than, here's my arms. They can go up and down. My head might be able to turn, you know. But it just, yeah. You guys have any closing thoughts, Michael?
I did want to say, because we're mostly talking about the season two Transmetals when we're talking about the flaking, but just be aware, everybody, that the Transmetal 2 is also flake.
Oh, we even, did we mention Inferno?
What of Inferno?
He's awesome.
Well, speaking of Inferno, here's a little bit of trivia for you. There's Inferno in Beast Wars, and then there's Scavenger, who is a fire ant, who's a transmetal.
You mean Transmetal to Inferno?
Right, but he's not. He's a different character. However, yeah. If you look at an old issue of, I think it was Lee's Action Figure Toy News Review, that has a preview image of Scavenger. And written on all the transmetals, they had their name. And if you zoom in on that picture, it actually says Inferno on it. And later on, when the toy came out, it was Scavenger, and it was a different character.
You know, it's funny because apparently one of the original working ideas for Inferno in Season 1 is that he was going to be a temporary body for Megatron. And he was supposed to be a Megatron figure.
Hmm.
So, he's like,
I was unaware of that.
I've never heard that one before. What's your sources?
I believe TF Wiki is where I've read that. I mean, I'm not going to say TF Wiki is God, but they usually at least quote
it's sources. On the internet, it must be true.
I haven't ever heard that before.
You can neither confirm nor deny that one.
Yeah, let me go see if I can confirm it. At least, so
that you can prove that you're not crazy.
It says here on TF Wiki, Hasbro originally intended Inferno to be the new body for Megatron, according to a 1997 interview conducted by fan Hooksix, Bob Forward stated, "For a while there, Hasbro was planning to make the Inferno toy a new Megatron. We were going to kill Megatron and bring him back as Inferno. The closest they got was in Coming of the Fusers Part 2 when Megatron and Inferno had a collision and swapped heads." And there's a link to the interview.
Changing Megatron from a T-Rex to a fire ant. That would have been a massive, you know what, let's just call it a day.
Well, I think that was a temporary thing to
buy
them time until they maybe developed a bigger toy.
Possible.
Maybe that was a work on it when it was still the Alligator Megatron. I mean, that could even be the case. Because Inferno was in the very first wave of, or the very first year of Beast Wars, I believe.
What was the deal with Bat Megatron or Bat Primal and Croc Megatron? Why did they change them at the last minute? Anybody know? Rick, do you know?
I don't think it was a change at the last minute. I would think it was just a race to get product out there, and you want to put your two characters who have the most name recognition together, and you could only do that by creating a basic figure without creating a huge price point of putting two deluxe figures together or two mega figures together. So I think it came down to cost.
And those were available molds that really weren't assigned to anything, I guess.
Or were they originally designed as? Because I'd have to look it up. I'm speaking
out totally of an
error here. Yeah, exactly. I believe that those were released earlier than the mega figures. That two pack. And that was also before the show. If you look at some of the early Beast Wars, like the original McDonald's Beast Wars promotion,
which incidentally where the Unit 3 came through from as well.
Yeah, it? Unit 3 is from that. They had Rhino, Panther, Manta, and Beetle, which were all just generic names. They got some characterization in the source book. But on the Happy Meal box, they also had the Gator Megatron and the Bat Optimus Primal. And I believe that promotion was before the show had even started. I wouldn't quote me on that.
Listener Edward Hunt just commented. He said, the design of Optimus Primal's bat form is an homage to Batman, an action figure license also held at the time by Kenner. And if you think about it, he is a gray bat with blue accents and things.
Not just his bat form, his head was actually designed, and it's well known. It was designed after the Batman cowl. If you look at his head here,
yeah,
it was very deliberately given a Batman look to it. It'd be interesting. I don't think it's ever formally came out. If they ever planned on, you know, this being Optimus Primal, or if they always had a plan of going bigger with it, exactly why these figures existed in the first place. But I mean, I'm glad that they existed because
they're quirky.
I personally love them. I'm a big fan of the Flip Changer gimmick. And so any Flip Changers I can get, I love. I would like to get a Megalligator and Bat Convoy. Anyone knows where I can find one for a decent price.
Brett! All right, Rick, do you have any closing thoughts on our discussion tonight?
Beast Wars was a brand that saved Transformers. And without Beast Wars, whether you are a trunk, not a monkey guy, you have to admit that without Beast Wars, we wouldn't have had the movies. We wouldn't have had Masterpiece toys.
We wouldn't be sitting here probably right now doing this.
We might not even have a brand right now. So know your history.
Absolutely. Well, guys, hopefully you all have, as a listener, have been entertained and learned something tonight on the Transmetals and the Fusors. I was sitting all week, and I actually had contacted a couple guests, and they never got back to me, at least not by today. And so I was trying to think of alternative topics to talk about tonight. And I'm like, you know, it's a Beast Wars year. Let's kind of delve into some Beast Wars some more tonight. I'm going to do that throughout the year. Next week, we have a special guest on May 13th, Matt Frank, who is specialized in drawing beast characters, has done so for IDW, currently works on like the Transformers and the Godzilla comics. But Matt Frank will be with us this coming week. So hopefully you'll tune in and listen to him, and be interesting to hear. So guys, do you all have any other thoughts before we close?
Monkey, not truck.
Truck, not monkey. Old internet arguments.
I just can't wait for the Masterpiece version of this guy.
Yes. Yes, he will be out very shortly, I'm sure. I think October, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's something like in the fall. It's far too far away.
Indeed.
Just release it, Takara.
Well, guys, this has been episode number 199 of TFYLP. Next week will be our 200th episode as a podcast, although it won't be 200th as TFYLP, but we've been doing this for 200 episodes. It's hard to believe. But, you know, outside of having a special guest, really don't have anything planned because you know, it's another episode. So every episode's great. So
celebrating 201.
Yes. 235. But I am Ron Land. Along with me has been Rick Alvarez and Michael Swift. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. Again, check us out if it's more easy for you to download that way via now the Google Play Store. So check us out on there. Also available on iTunes, Double Twist, and many other podcast outlets. We'll see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Night. See ya.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.